Well, this Tuesday, Jeannie and I had the privilege of taking our two-year-old granddaughter out for lunch. Wow. Dairy Queen was fun. But after that, we went to Canadian Tire because that's one of her favorite places. Because it has an elevator or an escalator. And the escalator is actually now the mini choo-choo. The big choo-choo is the LRT, but... Man, that's pretty cheap date. I mean, who needs to go to Disneyland when you have a mini choo-choo at Canadian Tire, right? But I remember the first time at Canadian Tire, I'm with Ava, and let's go up the escalator. And she didn't want to. Looked a little scary. I had to coax her. And if I remember, I'd even had to kind of hold her. But something happened. She had a few trips with her mom and dad in between, and now, what once she kind of had Grandpa making her do, she could hardly wait to do. What used to be a have to turned into a want to. I think about that today as I think about this theme of service, serving God. I wonder how often we paint it as something we have to do as good little Christians when Jesus gives it to something as we get to do. Right now we're looking at our values, some of these values like service and last week community, worship, discipleship, because we're asking the question, what is life as God intends? If our vision is going to be 2020 and we see as God wants us to see, what does it look like to live with God, with one another, with our neighbors? Next week, what an opportunity. Mark Buchanan will be our keynote speaker, an amazing speaker, clarifying our vision around who is God. Who are we? Who is our neighbor? And we encourage you to be there. Register today, tomorrow. Let's just fill this conference. It's going to be a significant time. But in these weeks, we're taking the values that fall out of this with one another. As we serve one another and with one another a world, how would God have us see it? Not just as something we say is a good thing at arm's length. We need to serve. It's good. But up close and personal. Where it impacts our lives. And again, as I said earlier, I think a lot of times it's something we're supposed to do instead of something we get to do. To lead us into this, let's go to the book of 1 Peter. What's interesting, a number of you are in the Bible study right now on Wednesday nights on 1 Peter. And you'll know that Peter's writing to a persecuted church. A church going through a hard time where you would think instead of him, hey, serve others, it would be hunker in, get protective. But in the midst of the trouble, he's saying, no, you're designed to serve. And even in that, regardless of what's going on, God will meet you. So let's see what he has to say. First, Peter 4, we're going to go there. In verse 10. It says there, each one of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I think it's easy for us to just pull out those two words, serve others, do it. But Paul says it in a context. Even the verse says a lot, but the passage it's part of starts up in verse 7. The end of all things is near, therefore be alert and sober-minded so you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another with grumbling. Then verse 10, what we've read. And then verse 11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to suggest that Peter here is not only saying, serve others, it's your duty, but he's giving some reasons why. And when we get these reasons why, this value of serving can become so much less than a have to and more a want to, a get to. So let's look at the reasons. First one is this. We are part of a mission that truly matters. We're part of a mission that truly matters. Let me get at this with a story. It comes in many forms, but it's about a guy named John Scully. During the 70s and 80s, he was working in marketing for Pepsi, and he was very, very successful. The one thing I read, he's the one that came up with a Pepsi challenge, blindfold, Coke and Pepsi, which is better. That was John Scully. About this time, Apple Computer is wanting to go big, Steve Jobs, and he wants to scoop up John Scully, and indeed, John Scully ended up working successfully for a while for Apple. How did he get him to shift from this lucrative, very well-paying career at Pepsi? It wasn't easy. As the story goes, even financially, they were working out the details and offered something amazing, but Scully is still kind of hedging. And then Jobs asked him, "Do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want a chance to change the world?" "I had no answer," writes Scully. "It simply knocked the wind out of me." You want to spend your life selling sugared water, or do you want a chance to change the world? And the funny thing about computers, they've had a lot of influence in the world, but they got a shelf life. Are they going to be computers in eternity? I don't know. If they are, they're not going to be what's having the influence. That's for sure. We are confronted with a question every day, too. Are you content just giving yourself to that which in the end isn't going to matter? Or do you want to be part of changing people's eternities and lives now? Before saying we're to serve others, Peter couches it with this: the end of all things is near. Peter couches a call to serve in light of the big story arc of history, and he's saying there's going to come a day when everything we see is going to be renewed by God. The end of all things is near. And what's fascinating, the language isn't just about the end being eternity, but the end is also the purpose. The purpose that God is about, that is going to come completely in its fulfillment then, it's near now. Peter walked with Jesus. He was there when Jesus so often said something like he does in Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus is saying, Peter is saying, yes, there's coming a day when it's going to come in its fullness, but right now the kingdom of God, the purposes of God, the ends of God are near. And what are those? The good news. We sang it. That Jesus died and rose again, and that new life that he ushers in is now what he wants to see change people's lives and indeed the societies that we're a part of that are so fallen. The good news is that God, through Jesus, is setting right all that is wrong in the world. And there's going to come a day that's going to be completely real. But right now, the kingdom of heaven is near. There's this tension. Already it's here. It's not yet fully here, but it's here now. And he's saying, serve, because you get to be part of this mission of God making right what is wrong in the world. We believe it. It's why, as we go on in 1 Peter 4, in verse 7, "Therefore be alert and sober-minded so you can pray." Don't just live like this world is all there is. Be alert. God's up to something bigger. Do you want to be part of something bigger? "Then above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." The thought there is, it's so easy to get caught in our petty little differences with one another, and we live in fallenness, and we don't let the good news touch us. So be alert to what's going on. God is up to something, and it's something big, so let's set aside our petty differences and let love for one another and his love for the world help us see that there's nothing greater in our lives than to be a part of this mission of God setting right what is wrong in our world, in our lives. And I think we need to see that when we serve, and it might seem so little, there's ripples. We want to build a church, And a church is not a building and an organization. A church is the people of God. People of God that he is working through. And as we are involved in the ripples, cooking a meal in Alpha so that at Alpha, God touches a life. Opening our home to a small group so that through that small group, someone encounters in community the living God and their life is changed. Working down in children's ministry and some child, God touches their lives and they grow into someone he uses for the kingdom. Investing our finances in building, may it be a local church, a local ministry, a cross-cultural ministry, so that through that ministry, our dollars become part of what God does to change the world. Ripples. I think so often we just see it as I'm supposed to do it, but God, help me see the ripples that wherever I invest myself, if you take it, you can multiply it. Lives can be changed. Even as we think of what occupies our time, our occupations, our neighborhoods, our community leagues, as we interact, can we see this layer, be alert and sober-minded? How can I layer in the fact that God wants me to be his presence, bringing his values and his heart and his truths so that I represent him and serve his broader purposes, even as he's given me a context to do that through my job, through my community, through my involvements. We are part of a mission that truly matters. We have significance. We can wake up in the morning and say, this is not all there is. And there's many, many in our world who can't say that. But if we truly get it, God is saying, you are part of something that can change lives as God works through you. Then we might say, me? Really? Well, next reason. We've been given resources that are truly God's. Because of that, they're truly enough. Let me go at this one. It's John Piper who gives this analogy. Imagine how weird it would be. You go into an art museum and there's somebody taking the paintings off the wall and carrying them under their arm. You'd think that's strange, but someone goes up and says to him, what are you doing? He says, well, they're mine. They're not yours. Well, they're under my arm. They're mine. No. Just try going out the door. They're not going to let you take them out the door. And we go, this guy's crazy. But Piper said, it's how so many of us live. God gives us this incredible wall of art, designed us uniquely, and we get to share that with the world. But instead, we often either look at others and they've got more, and then we take it under our arm and it's mine and I get to use it for me because maybe I don't have enough. And he's saying, no, put it up on the wall. It's mine, manage it. This is the message of verses 9 and 10. Come back to 1 Peter 4. He says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Hospitality, opening up your space. Whatever space I've given you, God is reminding us, I've given it to you, it's mine. Don't take it under your arm, open it up. And don't grumble, it's not big enough. Someone made it dirty. It's mine. Share it. Then he goes on to say, in fact, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Whatever gift, every gift you have is of grace. Now, the word gift is interesting. I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts later, but in context here, it's so much more. God, out of his love for us, has given us gifts. The first one is new life in his Son. Romans 6:23 says this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift, same word, gift, same word in the Greek, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You've been given the gift of a new life in Christ. It's part of your wall. Don't hide it and hoard it. Your new life is to be on display. And then in various forms, God's grace, those gifts come to us. Yes, in spiritual gifts. God uniquely, when we come to Christ by His Spirit, gives us things that are effective and that we enjoy doing. And that's a spiritual gift. And they're all different in the way we each are formed. But that's only part of it. It's gifts in the various forms. It includes our space, offer hospitality, our finances. It includes our talents. It includes the interests that we have. It includes the context in which we've been placed to live. It includes our education. God says, everything I've given you, breath this morning, new life in Christ, hope, living in North America with all its opportunities, it's part of your wall. What a privilege to be able to let people see our wall. And he says, don't grumble. Others have a bigger wall, different wall. Don't stick it under your arms, because guess what? You're not taking it out of here. Gift of eternal life you are. But a lot of that other stuff is best taken now, where you think about, how do I take what God has given me? Not what I don't have, but what I do have. And think clearly about, God, how can this touch other lives? Which reminds us again of the third reason. Reason one, we have a mission that truly matters. Two, we have resources and they're truly God's, thus truly enough. Number three, where we all called, are called to fit, is an area of service that truly fits. This Christmas, one of the things I love to do to kind of get some space is jigsaw puzzle. Love it. Now, the thing with a jigsaw puzzle, it's 1,000-piece, the one I did, so there's a lot going on. You take that piece, and sometimes you just think it's got to fit there, but it doesn't. Now, how crazy would it be to take a knife? Just cut it a little bit. Probably if you do that, there's going to be another hole over here that, right? 1,000 pieces, each one has a place. Somehow we've got the message in the church often that there's a need, get out a knife, cut yourself to fit, and go wear a smile and pretend it's working. But I don't like children, go to the nursery. No, it doesn't work that way. Verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you've received. Not what gift someone else has received. You've received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And then he gets specific about these spiritual gifts. How God's wired us, designed us. As we come to him, how he gives us capacities to serve. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. It's summary. It says, some of you, it's more up front, it's more public, it's more speaking. Others of you, it's more behind the scenes. Maybe people aren't seeing it as much. And there's other places in Scripture where some of these gifts are delineated under these categories. But what he's saying is, however God's wired you, be that. Go there. Don't be thinking you got to be someone else. How do we discover our gifts? I think one of the best ways is we go where our passions are, because God's given us that too, and the two align. It's an important question. If you could do whatever you wanted to do, to support the life and the ministry of the church and to be part of God's ministry to the world, what would it be? And then, like a puzzle, just because you take a piece and it doesn't fit, you don't throw it away, right? Keep trying till it goes click. click, trying and it's not quite there, and trying another piece, that's not failure. It's discovery. There might be some of you here, you love kids. Talk to Geraldine. You love being in the kitchen and cooking. There's opportunities. Some of you are comfortable teaching, and let us know that. Some of you love to make your home available and make people feel welcome. So many places to do that. Sometimes we can take these gifts and even think, how can I serve my community in the community league? Some of you love sports. You know how much they need coaches? But we're just thinking, God, as I see these needs around me, not by guilt to fill that need everyone's talking about, but what's on my heart? And how can my heart fit? If you're wondering that, just come to us as staff. We'd love to have a talk about that. And again, it's not like the first time I try a piece, it's the right one, but you just keep working. So it goes click. I think sometimes the reason serving God is a negative experience is that we're not serving how we're designed. Maybe God's inviting you to that today. I think another reason we burn out serving is not so much we're in the wrong place, but we do it for the wrong reasons. We forget that we're serving God in His strength. So that takes us to the last reason we get to serve, and that's this. We're promised strength that truly sustains. We are serving God as He would call us. The place He wants us, out of His strength, He'll supply and He'll do the work. Let me set this up with a story we find in Luke 10. Mary and Martha, two of Jesus' friends, He comes to their house. Martha loves to cook. She's in the kitchen. Mary, though, recognizes Jesus has come. This is time to actually be in relationship. So she's sitting out in the living room with Him. Martha's in the kitchen. But how come Mary's there? And it's not only the heat of that stove that's starting to warm up. There is heat in her own life. She's getting angry. It's not just the pots boiling over. She says to Jesus, how can you sit there and have Mary sit there? Tell her to come help me. We can feel with Mary, right? You know what Jesus says? Let me read it because I think we need to hear it from Jesus. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You're worried and upset about many things. But a few things are needed. Or indeed only one. Mary's chosen what is better. Ouch. Mary's chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. Now, is Jesus saying, Martha, what you're doing is wrong? I think He's saying, no. Martha, what you're doing is being done for the wrong reasons and in your own strength. Mary is choosing relationship right now. And there will come a time out of relationship to go to the kitchen. And maybe it won't be as fancy. Maybe it'll be sandwiches. Maybe it will be fancy. It's not the point. The point is you're serving to somehow get relationship instead of out of relationship. We come back to 1 Peter 4, verse 11. Peter was probably in the room when this Mary Martha thing happened. I think maybe he's got it in the back of his mind. When he writes, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. Not on their own, getting grumbling and complaining because no one else is helping me and no one appreciates me. But first having just receive from God. You're my living hope. It's out of your hope in my life that I have something to offer the world. And I'm not so bent out of shape building my own identity and what people think, but I can offer freely what you've given me. Sometimes to serve better, we have to serve less. Because we're doing it for the wrong reasons. What's the right reason? So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. And it's this invitation that if we're serving, and it's just so frustrating to ask the question, am I serving out of relationship or for relationship? And what does it look like to come back to God and say, God, thank you. Restore in me hope. Restore in me your life. Restore in me joy. To do that in the context of community, to ask what's going on. That's why we come to the table once a month. It's just a time to say, God, let's get back to basics. This is symbolic of what you offer me every day, your very life. How can I offer life if I'm not receiving it? So again, I come to a posture of receiving your life, recognizing it's all yours. That in your strength, I go to a hungry and thirsty world, not with an empty bucket, but with one filled by you. So why do we serve? Because it's a duty of every good Christian? No. Because we're part of a mission that truly matters. God can really use us to make a difference. Making right in our world and our lives all that is wrong. We've been given resources that are truly God's. All we have, it's from him. We're managers. It's going to be enough. Called to service that truly fits. What an invitation. Not to be who we're not, but to be who we are. And we're promised strength that truly sustains. We get that. Service becomes less and less something we have to do. More and more something we get to do. Let's pray. Father, as we come to the table, we reflect on the greatest act of service that's ever been given to us. Wow. God, we need to be served by you. That's what the table's about. Letting you into the questions, letting you into the frustration, letting you into all of it. Filling our bucket anew with your spirit that we might have something for a hungry world. So we come thanking you, God, that you invite us to be part of a life that matters. That we don't have to produce anything to make it happen. You've given it. We manage it. We get to be faithful to who you've made us to be. But may we always remember it's out of relationship and your fullness we serve.